Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. Want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
James Watson, Wiggins guarding him. Six to shoot. Backs in, falling away. Got it. 24 points, 10 rebounds, 9 assists for LeBron.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
It's a big impact in the passing game. The reason the switch was made is because Ian Book did a much better job than Brandon Wimbush at enabling the capabilities of the terrific Irish receivers and tight ends in the passing game. He was able to get the ball out more quickly, on time, where the receivers had a step to be able to make a move and go.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Offensive rebound for Drummond, taken away again with Fournier, stripping it. The lob for Gordon. Oh, he styles it up.
Check out Aaron Gordon. Oh, yeah.
Not many can do that.
No.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
City time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Brandon Sprague and Andy Johnson in with you on this Thursday afternoon. That perfect, crisp, cold, sunny weather. I like this. This is my winter.
Today was like the first day it actually felt really cold. Like, I went outside last night to take the dog out to go pee. Not that it hasn't been somewhat cold, but last night was the first time going outside. It was like, whoa. It is, it's feeling like wintertime out there.
Turned my heater on last night.
Did you? I've been lighting fires every night, baby.
Oh, really?
Lighting fire. I love doing fire. I light a fire every day when I get home.
Do you go chop wood or do you buy it at the store?
Oh, hell no. No, I got a big stockpile of wood outside. You go, you know, hit it with an axe a couple of times, break up some big logs, throw it in the fire.
Do you wear flannel while doing it?
I do. I wear flannel. I put on some boots.
Yeah, but like, where do you get the wood?
I've had hookups the last couple of years, like people who own properties and stuff. Like, we've had a family friend the last 2 years that they've cut down trees in like somebody's yard, mm-hmm. and they just chop it up with a chainsaw and deliver it. And then I load it into my
Wait, they chop it up with a chainsaw for you and deliver it?
Basically, yeah, because they needed wood for themselves, and they had it's always too much wood, so yeah. I end up with the surplus wood. I'm like, yeah, bring it on by.
Pretty jealous you got a real fireplace. I got the fake one, which is okay, and it actually heats my house pretty well.
Yeah.
I love real fires.
I'm not a very manly man. There's not a lot of like manly man qualities that I have. I don't know how to work on cars. I don't know how to fix a lot around my house.
You know how to kill mice, lay floor, and start fires. It's pretty manly to me.
I do know how to kill mice, but then I feel bad about killing the mice and I try and revive them.
You know how to tear out your countertops, not how to put them in, but how to tear them off.
Okay, yeah. Valid points. So I get like a C in manliness.
You make love to your lady. That's pretty manly.
I think making a fire is the manliest thing that I do. And they're like chopping wood and stacking it up and getting a fire going. Like, I don't think there's anything more manly that I have.
I think the thing I just cited is more manly.
Okay, yeah, valid point.
But I don't mean to knock you down. I don't think that's hard.
No, I'm not saying that it's difficult. I'm just saying it feels manly.
I think you laid your floor, right? Didn't you do like a wood linoleum, whatever?
I did.
I think that's more manly than starting a fire. I think you should cite that as being your most my most manly and manliest thing is blank. Yours should be.
You think I go floors first and yes. then fire?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Right? Because I've met
from a difficulty scale, there's no doubt about it. Putting a new kitchen floor in is much more difficult than lighting a fire.
I'm stupid. I've met dumber people than me, and I've watched them light a fire.
They know how to do the TP, you know?
Like, yeah, I mean, get everybody kind of knows the TP.
Kind of figure that out.
Paper underneath, okay. You get it going, then you stack a first log, the second, it's going.
You're bringing valid points to this conversation. There's a good feeling lighting a fire.
Yes, I'm with you on
like,
that.
Like, you just sit there and you watch it go. Like, I could just sit and stare at a fire for like an hour.
Yeah, I could.
You never just have it.
Like, could.
There's just something, I don't know what it is about fires. Like, I just sit there and like you get like a glass of scotch and you're just sitting in your living room.
Isn't that what you do when you camp? I mean, that's basically what camping is.
You just sit and look at a bonfire. That's all camping is.
I had a wood burning fireplace one time in an apartment I lived in.
And I would do that all the time. I'd just sit on the couch. There'd be no sports on. I just put my feet up. I'd kind of lay there and I'd look at the fire. And I'd listen to the wood crackle.
Right, right.
And I'd be like, man, I've been doing this for like an hour and 15 minutes.
Next thing you know.
Just go do something else. It's a, it can get you.
Right.
It's like you understand in that moment why bugs get zapped. I get it. They see the light. It's just kind of like, can't stop looking at it. Can't stop looking at
just
it.
Just don't walk into the fire. Then you have a whole other set of problems.
Yeah, we're not that stupid.
It's like a trance, just getting hypnotized by the fire, basically.
See? It really is.
Yeah, somebody, I have a beach house. My fireplace always build fires.
That's a kick-ass feeling. My dream, if I ever get to build a dream house or buy a dream house, I have a couple requirements of what I'm looking for. One of them is for sure a wood-burning fireplace. Like a legitimate fireplace.
Right. See, now, and I have been very fortunate to have, like, people give me wood. Over the, oh, damn it.
Today, I'm laying the big wood.
Over the last couple of
years, please.
Since Swigard's out, can you do me a favor? Can you pull that?
Oh, this whole segment has been a drop.
Yeah, but that
from
one
the very
was
beginning.
There's wood all over this place.
That was extra special.
But I have been fortunate to have it like given to me for free, and not having to like seek out wood because I'm eventually going to hit that point. I've had my house now for like 3.5-4 years, ballpark it somewhere in that range, and I haven't had to go out and like seek wood on my own. But when I get to that point of having to do that, then it's going to be a pain in the ass.
So who did you call to go get wood?
You call your wood guy, you know?
You call wood. You have a wood guy?
You got to call Woody.
You call him Woody,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, Woody. He brings the wood by.
I feel like if you give him his real name, it's going to feel too real for you.
Yeah, no real names.
Joe, what is the most manly thing? If you had to fill in the blank of the manliest thing you do, what would you say?
Ooh, I would say barbecuing. Which I don't know if that's like,
I think being a good barbecuer is on the manly scale.
A lot of people claim to be good on the barbecue, and a lot of people are not.
Throwing a pork loin on the roast, making sure that's got a nice crisp on the outside and just nice and, ooh, man. Yeah, barbecuing, I think that's about as manly as I'll get there.
I'll give you, I think I have a tie for mine.
Of your most manly thing?
Yeah, because mine would probably also be floors. The house I had in Beaverton.
Yeah, you did new floors.
I did the whole downstairs.
Yeah.
That was not easy. It was a nightmare, and it took a few days, but I got it done. But I'm also equally or maybe more proud of the fact that I know how to line a fishing pole. I know how to tie the hook. I know how to do all. I know
Dude,
how to put the weights on.
That's pretty high on the pecking order of manly things.
And I've caught fish with that, and there's not a better feeling going, I literally made this work to the point where I brought in food.
Yeah, I'm feeding my family.
Yeah, I have.
Essentially.
Multiple times.
I'm not going to lie. I'm kind of jealous of that.
I know how to gut the fish. Like, I'm actually not, you know, I'm sneaky good in the wild. I'm sneaky good.
Now, not hunting, though, but just fishing.
I could hunt if I needed to, but I have not yet, no. I actually plan to go hunting at some point.
Take a spear out there and run down a gazelle.
I have a buddy, and he's a really successful person. He's able to take a decent amount of time work off. He's going to Montana soon, and I think he's going on like a big elk hunting trip or something.
Yeah.
He asked me a while back if I ever wanted to go to hit him up, and I'm kind of mad I didn't hit him up for that.
Yeah,
it was this weekend, and we're going to Ben's. So.
Right, because that's the tough part for us is that hunting season is usually during football season.
Right,
so it's a lot of the fall months, so we usually don't like to leave during
the
weekend.
I want to say elk season is right now because my dad left like last Tuesday to go hunting. And I was like, oh, he's probably going to come back on Sunday. I'm pretty sure he's still out hunting. So it's like a week and a half.
Well, you can't go for 2 days. I mean, you can go for 2 days, but like when you live in here and you want to go to Central Oregon or Montana or wherever.
There's long drives to get to some places.
Yeah. You're going to want to take at least 2 weeks.
And that's the thing.
Because you also don't want to come back empty handed. Yeah, you want to have all that meat.
He's in like Northeast Oregon over by Pendleton and stuff like that. But
actually, you could mark that.
Yeah, probably.
We are now. By the way, people are chiming in with the manliest
things. Their manliest
that they do.
Thing.
Somebody.
By
said,
the way, the ladies out there, we've got a decent amount of women listeners.
Sure.
What's like the coolest thing you can do?
Yeah. Where does that rank for them?
My wife would probably instantly say, "I give birth to a human being," and I would say, "No, that's more manly than anything I can do."
I could not pull that one off. Open beer bottles with my wedding ring. It pisses my wife off. Do you do that? Can you pull that one off?
I've never tried.
Yeah, I got a buddy who knows how to do that, and it is pretty. That's like one of the reasons I wanted to get married.
That's the manliest thing they can do.
You know, take it off with your left. That's, I mean, that's pretty cool, right?
No, that is
like
pretty
you're
badass.
At a party and everybody's like, hey, who's got a bottle opener? You're like, don't worry about it. I got one right here.
I hate when people open bottles in ways I never thought of.
Yeah.
Like when people open bottles with other bottles or I'm always, because what I have is I got this gift. It's a money clip because I've moved from wallets to money clips. And the back of it is a bottle opener.
It's a terrible bottle opener, though.
No, it's not.
It takes you a good 5 minutes to open a bottle with
it
that
thing.
It
does not.
I just go seek out another bottle opener. Whenever you offer to open me a beer, I say, yeah, yeah.
Well, what happens,
able to walk and find one somewhere else where I need one before you can open one up.
What happens is I have to slide my, like, 10 cards that I have on it down just enough to get the bottle on it. And usually I'll give it to you. It takes about a minute.
It takes a little bit of time. Let's see, what else do we got here? Being able to grow a beard, somebody said.
It's a pretty good one.
That's pretty
solid. I wish
solid.
I could do that.
Not all men can do that, that's for sure.
I wish we could read some of these.
Some of them are not.
Oh, we got some inappropriate ones?
Yeah.
I might have to open the text line.
I'm almost shedding tears over here.
It's worth the read. Listeners are on point today. One of our people had said, my buddy and I built a deck in my backyard. Pretty basic, but I'm proud of it. That's probably my most manly thing, building the decks up there.
I also did that at my other house as well. That is a pretty badass feeling.
Somebody said, enjoying myself to the Victoria's Secret catalog.
I mean, we all have different goals. We all have different goals and achievements in life.
Envisioning that with the Kawhi laugh is very traumatizing. Decking out the house with Christmas lights.
That's an underrated
that's
one.
That's in the category. I put that in the in ballpark.
I can hang, well, my house now is a little tougher because it's so high, but I can hang lights. The problem, though, is I can't make it perfect. I get jealous of people who houses are, like, the lights are perfect. There's not extra. You can't see cords hanging in weird spots. It's just perfectly done. That's absolutely a skill. There's a reason there's companies that you have to pay to do that for.
There's an art form to it.
Absolutely there is.
And you take pride in that. Like, I take big pride in when you come home during Christmas and you look at your house, you're like, that's right.
I put that up.
That's me. I created that.
Yeah.
What else we got? Somebody said spearfishing for octopus. Where does that rank?
I mean,
that's pretty badass.
It's next level.
Spearfishing for octopus. How do you stumble into that in life? Hey, what'd you do this summer? I went spearfishing for octopus.
I'm a little inclined to question that one, but I'm going to give it up. Where do you go spearfishing for octopus? Are they just in shallow water all the time?
This is a good point. Do they swim near the top?
Unless you're talking about one of those, underwater spear guns?
Yeah.
Maybe you just go deep in the ocean and you dive in? I don't know, but that's pretty badass.
We had a chick, by the way, chime in and said, I fixed my dryer when my husband wanted to replace it.
Ooh.
Oh, you showed him.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
That's well played
right
there.
That's a dynamic change in the relationship.
No, we need a new dryer.
Right,
oh, yeah? Watch me fix it.
Now, anytime anything's wrong with a car,
right.
Anything at all, I'll be like, you want me to take care
get
of that
out
for
of
you,
the
honey?
Way. Get
what,
out of the way.
What do you do if you're the guy and that happens?
File for a divorce. Just done.
I'm out.
Can't do it anymore.
I lost all my manliness.
Yet, Russ just tweeted us, said, smoking my own jerky. I feel like that's an innuendo for something, but I'm going to assume he's talking about real jerky.
I bet you do
jerky.
A lot of that, Rust.
Yeah, I bet Rust is one of those guys.
I bet that's what your Saturdays are
I know
like.
How to smoke my own jerky. We got a good show today. We're already against the clock. Joe's not giving us a heads up on the clock, so you're not even doing your job today. What are you doing?
I definitely pressed the button a few times to let you know when you're here.
What was the manliest thing you said? Barbecuing?
Barbecuing.
Okay.
Get on the grill.
You to think a little more and see if you can come up with anything else.
See, okay. Somebody went the opposite way of Joe and said, a woman that can repair a dryer, I think I'm in love. He went the opposite way. He's attracted to her knowledge of fixing things.
It's great and all, but just saying that you want to replace it and then the wife one-upping you by fixing it completely, that's a tough situation.
Hey, she knows how to get it done, and there could be something said to what that translates to.
They're very good. And one last one to cap this off. Somebody said archery hunting. Wait, where did it go? I build houses, hunt, fish, build fires, but I'm still most proud of taking the bra off with one hand. I think of that office scene where Michael Scott's filming the video of teaching his son future things, and he's trying. You just kind of pull until you break something. He couldn't quite figure out how to get it off.
That's right. And Cody asking a great question. Then we got to go. Why isn't fishing considered hunting?
I mean, it is a form of hunting,
but it's not.
It's not. you're hunting the fish, just.
Well,
right.
We're going down a rabbit hole.
Yeah, I have too many thoughts on that.
Is a hot dog a sandwich?
When I fish, I don't go, oh, I know where the fish are. When you hunt, there's ways that you can track the animal and. Okay, you're right. I'm right. Kind of questioning this in my mind. I don't want to go down this. We're already against it. We got a great show today. And we'll start here. Some college football for you. And some numbers that don't bear something out very well. This could actually be a buzzkill. We'll tell you what that is and explain more next. You got Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
This is Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, I had to close the text line, the Better You Today text line.
Well, now we're getting questions like this. When you fish for shark, are you sharking?
This is why I closed it.
Right?
It's going to be two segments, and I don't want it to be two segments.
Okay, you just want one? All right.
By the way, Kyle Whittingham's going to join the show today at 1 o'clock.
Focus, focus.
We have the Utah head coach. We've had him on several times.
Dude, I love talking to Kyle Whittingham.
Seems like a good guy.
Of all the interviews in the conference, Mike Leach is like the wildest, but sometimes you don't get much from him, but his tangents are funny. Outside of that, I dare say Kyle Whittingham, the best interview out there.
Ooh, better than our weekly with Mario?
Well, outside of the obvious, yeah, outside of Oregon and Oregon State. Whittingham's a solid interview.
You don't want to get in trouble.
No, I mean, no, Crystal Ball's okay.
They're always listening.
They're always big brothers out there. But you never know. And to be fair, we don't have Kyle Whittingham on every week. If we did,
no.
I'm sure we would catch different moods or being pissed about a loss.
I don't think we would.
You don't think he's the same guy?
Well, we'll see today. I could be wrong. But
name me a better interview out there. Helton's not good. Someone's not good. Herm Edwards.
Herm could be good.
Just because it's Herm.
John
Lovitz, yeah.
Why
Peterson.
You
Peterson gives you nothing but coach speak.
Well, but hold on. That's where I was going to say. Let's be careful on the good thing. Maybe Whittingham gives us something this week. He is coach speak, though, right?
Like, well, they all have it to a degree.
There's
sure.
a quality that you like talking to the person. That doesn't always mean they give you a whole lot.
Valid point.
Right? So
valid point.
We'll have Kyle Whittingham on at 1 o'clock. Hey, so you know that whole college football playoff thing?
I do, yeah. It's coming up in a month? We'll find out.
Let's just not do it.
You just want to cancel the season?
Let's do the New Year's Day 6 games.
Those could be fun.
Let's do maybe some of the other top-end-ish bowl games that aren't quite New Year's Day worthy. And then we'll move on and we'll wait for college football to come back. Because the college football playoff, according to Vegas, does not matter. Get this. So Vegas put out some spreads, just hypothetical, with the matchups right now with the playoff teams.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they also threw in, just for S and giggles, Central Florida. UCF, who really wants to be in this argument. Alabama, if they played Central Florida, would be a 31-point favorite.
And we would all lay our money on Alabama,
absolutely
wouldn't we?
Would, 100%. If they played Michigan, the fourth team in the playoff, 14-point favorite. So that defense is great. I keep hearing about that defense. They would still lose by two touchdowns, according
That's
to Vegas.
That's identical to remember what the LSU spread was this past weekend. That was a 14-point spread, and they won by
easily
29.
Easily covered.
Yeah.
What about if they played Notre Dame, the number three team in the playoff right now? Yeah, that would be worse than if they played Michigan, because Vegas thinks that's a 20.5-point spread.
It's interesting it's that much higher than Michigan.
And I imagine if it was Winbush, not Book, spread would be 30.
yeah, it's close to the UCF line.
Because Winbush would get picked off twice. He would be terrible.
Yeah.
And how about Clemson, the team everybody's saying, hey, maybe that team can give us some hope for the playoff to be entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
Clemson would be an 8.5-point favorite. Two scores.
You mean Alabama would be an 8.5-point favorite over Clemson?
Oh, yeah. I meant dog. Sorry.
Yeah, it just kind of tells you what you're looking at this year. There's not much hope out there. I think we're all going to cling to it as college football fans that somehow, some way, a team beats Alabama. You had it to a certain extent last year, but, you know, when Auburn beat them in the Iron Bowl, but it's a different team now with Tua. That was Jalen Hurts losing that game. Not Tua. And he just brings such a different dynamic. I continue to maintain the only team with a legitimate shot, in my mind at least, and I hope I'm wrong on this, it's Clemson. You know, Michigan and their defense, they have the best defense in the country. They're a lot of fun to watch. They've been playing great football the last couple of weeks, couple of dominating wins. What they did to Penn State was really impressive on Saturday. But how much optimism do you have that Shea Patterson can move the ball on Alabama's defense? right? I mean, how much better is Michigan's offense than LSU's?
I don't have.
Maybe slightly, but that was a home game for LSU, and they had less than 200 yards of total offense, and they could score a damn point against them. I don't have much hope there. So maybe, sure, maybe Michigan slows down Alabama, and they're not going for 45 points on them, but can you match them? And I just don't see it. The only team that I give a shot at doing that to is Clemson, and it's because of their quarterback. But that, again, is a tall task. I mean, Trevor Lawrence is going to be an absolute stud when it's all said and done, and that guy's got two more years left of college football, which is a scary notion for everybody for what Clemson could be in the next couple of years. But you're asking a true freshman to go into a national title game, kind of like he did with Tua last year, and essentially put a team on its back. Because I think Clemson has the defense to slow Alabama down, not a lot, but enough. Then it again gets back to, can Trevor Lawrence outscore Tua?
Yeah, I mean, that defensive line is one of the best we've ever seen, but it would be about Tua's health and what Clemson could do with pressure, right? I don't know what the right way to defend Tua is, because on the run, he is phenomenal.
He is.
And even in the pocket at 5'10", 5'11", whatever he's listed as, he still seems to be able to find his guys or see that somebody's streaking up the field.
Yeah.
Maybe Clemson's defense is a little underrated in this scenario.
I mean, they got like four first-round picks up front.
Well, but doesn't that feel like it's going to be the title game?
Yo, there's no doubt in my mind right now.
Like, I don't think Notre Dame stands a chance against Clemson.
No, because
I don't think Georgia or Michigan stand a chance against Alabama.
If I had to lay my money on where things sit at the end of the year, I think this is going to be the playoff. It's hard for me to see Bama losing. It's hard for me to see Clemson losing. It's hard for me to see Notre Dame losing with the remainder games on their schedule.
Syracuse.
That's
in New York, too.
Sure, maybe. But if Ian Book's healthy, I'm not going to pick him to lose that game. That, to me, would be a pretty sizable upset.
He's out this weekend.
He is. He's not playing against Florida State. I don't think they need him against Florida State. And it's hard for me to see. And I know the Ohio State game is going to be a big one. But the way Michigan's playing defensively and the way Ohio State's struggling, I think this is your playoff. And you would have Alabama versus Michigan and then Notre Dame versus Clemson. And I think Clemson and Alabama would be sizable favorites in those two games.
Yeah, so Vegas has released some odds out there, and Alabama, not really surprisingly, are big favorites against Notre Dame, Michigan. They put UCF as a joke, I think, just to show UCF, shut up. And then Clemson, right, they'd be 8.5-point favorites.
Well, and somebody's asking, they didn't release one that I saw, at least, of them versus Washington State, because somebody wants to know what the spread of that game would be. But if you're going to be favored by, 20.5 against Notre Dame, and the UCF line is 31, my guess would be somewhere in between that.
26.
Right. I mean, just for perspective, Alabama this weekend is favored at home against Mississippi State, who's ranked 16th. They're favored by 24.5.
Hey, what happens when an NFL player suffers a crucial injury and then things don't get right with his body? Whose fault is it? Well, he's blaming the doctor, and it's a quite famous one. We'll tell you who, and we'll talk about this story next. But first, Joe with a sports update.
This is Dirt and Sprague, on 1080, The Fan.
Coming up in 12 minutes. How upset have you been as a sports fan? So upset that you've wanted to lash out at your favorite team? Someone stood up and they did that. We got Kyle Whittingham coming up at 1 o'clock. We'll talk a little bit about the Utah-Oregon game. But I saw this a couple days ago, and we forgot to bring it up. I thought it was a very interesting story, and it's going to be one to follow. You remember Sharif Floyd from Florida?
I do. Defensive lineman for the Minnesota Vikings.
He was a highly touted high school prospect. He went to Florida for a few years, and then he was drafted in the first round by the Minnesota Vikings. He has filed a $180 million medical malpractice lawsuit against the famed surgeon, Dr. James Andrews. Andrews, of course, is the guy that seems to work on all the big superstar athletes.
Feels like whenever something needs to get done, it is James Andrews that does it.
Well, Floyd is 27. He hasn't played in an NFL game since 2016. And he says he suffered debilitating muscle and nerve damage in the aftermath of an unpermitted knee surgery at the Andrews Institute in Pensacola in September of 2016. He contends that the damage was caused by the negligent administration of a pain blocker. The blocker was used after the surgery itself became far more invasive and complex than Floyd had agreed to. So basically, he suffered an injury. He sought James Andrews' opinion. James Andrews actually initially told him to avoid surgery at all costs. He went back, and he was told it was just going to be like a knee scope. They ended up performing surgery. It wasn't James Andrews. He left this to a couple of his medical partners. James Andrews, by the way, is 76 years old, and it did not go well for him. He could never get right again. He's been out of league ever since. It should be noted that this is not the first player to ever point the finger at James Andrews. He's been involved in a few different lawsuits. One that people have kind of tied with him, or not him, but the attorney for Floyd is Lawrence Tynes, the Bucks kicker. He sued the team in 2015 over malpractice for the facility's conditions. But James Andrews has been tied to some other legality issues in the past.
He had a thing in 2007 where he basically had to pay about $450,000 back that he was money he was taken from Medicare and Medicaid, and he was basically billing those two, and he had to pay that money back to the federal government.
He was also supposed to get $6.8 million during the 2017 season from the Minnesota Vikings for his fifth-year option, but because of the injury, the Vikings cited it was not football-related.
Yeah.
And so they actually only had to pay him $2 million.
Yeah, he's trying to get that money back, too.
Well, they're in the works to work out an agreement right on that, so we'll see if he can get that money. But he has sued Dr. James Andrews for $180 million.
Well, this is a pretty big deal because of the figure that Dr. James Andrews is in sports. I mean, you mentioned the number of athletes that he's operated on. It's a crazy list, and if you think of all the biggest athletes of the last 20, 30 years, he has basically operated on every single one of them. And so whenever you have a figure like that in the sports world tied into something like this, it's going to be a big deal. Now, it should also be noted that we've only heard Floyd's story on this. We have not heard James Andrews' story on this of what exactly happened. So I think that needs to be taken into consideration. And oftentimes when you have a case like this, usually it's settled before going to court. And they clearly could not come to any number of agreements about what should be paid back to Sharif Floyd, what the settlement should be, how much insurance should pay, all that kind of stuff. And therefore, we're following through with this lawsuit. And I mean, it is wild to think about if what he is saying is true, that James Andrews said you don't need surgery, go play, because he was in the last year of his contract when this all went down. And he basically advised him, try and manage the pain, get through your final season of the contract, and we'll work on it basically after the year is over so you can make sure to get paid past your rookie deal. And he got hurt, as you mentioned, in that first game of the season, and then he flew down to Florida, and he is claiming that he had no knowledge that they were even prepping a surgery or that surgery was going to take place. He was basically flying down just to have him look because he got hurt in that first game. He didn't play in week two, and he wanted to go get it checked out. And when he went under the knife, he was under the impression, according to him again, that it was just basically a cleanup. They're just cleaning up his knee. You'll be out for 3 or 4 weeks, and you'll be back playing within a month. And that, of course, is not what happened. They did a more invasive surgery.
Season-ending cartilage regrowth procedure.
And he is claiming that they didn't tell him that they were going to do that once he was opened up. And then there's a whole other thing about apparently a post-op surgery where he was heavily medicated and did not consent to them going in and doing some form of a pain block in terms of doing something to the nerve in his knee. But apparently it's a very risky surgery that could have been career-ending and obviously turned out to be career-ending. And he's claiming that, look, you know, I have played my whole life through pain. I would much rather play through pain for a number of years in order to just keep playing than to have something happen through surgery that could end my career. So if what he is saying is true, I know some people have scoffed at the $180 million lawsuit because he wasn't going to make that as a player. But then you add in the damages, the medical bill expenses that he's had. You do tie in the contract money that maybe he lost because of this surgery. If he's telling the truth, he's going to end up getting a lot of money out of this.
Well, the difficulty, because Michael McCann broke this down for Sports Illustrated, their legal sports writer, and he basically said the tough part about this is there's always an inherent risk with surgery. And the not remembering to consent of the said surgery is where this could get a little tricky for Sharif Floyd in terms of proving that.
Right.
Because James Andrews, here's what he's up against. The most popular sports surgeon of all time.
Right.
This guy has worked on it. Bo Jackson, Drew Brees.
Michael Jordan,
yeah. Tom Brady, Brett Favre. I mean, you name the player, and he has probably done some kind of medical procedure for them. is that guy suddenly just not going to, is that guy just going to go forward with a procedure without consent when he's done it with everybody else prior? That's going to be the tough part for Sharif Floyd to point to.
He has to prove that he didn't know any of that
right.
stuff was happening.
They also have to, I think the tough part too, is if they can get to a jury with witnesses, other surgeons, et cetera, that's where also it could hurt Sharif Floyd, because those same people could be like, look, he is one of the more respected people in our profession. I can't imagine a guy of that caliber with that kind of name recognition would do something so recklessly. Now, what Floyd's argument basically would come down to is, you didn't do this. You passed me off to the guys sure. below you.
Yeah, and he's
partners.
Right, and it was basically you know, kind of interns almost, if you will. Whatever, I can't remember the medical terminology of that is, but there's young people that he's bringing up, and then one of his partners was the one that
like
did
a
the
residency
kind of essentially like that. And then the final surgery was done by, yes, one of his partners who did the nerve stuff. So it wasn't even actually James Andrews that went in and operated this surgery. So that's going to be ultimately his argument, but it's going to be a tricky one to prove, because as you mentioned, it's just hard to imagine why he would go through with the surgery like this without clearing it. But then you also you feel for Floyd if this did happen. I mean, imagine going down there trying to get your knee either just cleaned up or just looked at, and you think it's going to be a month long that you're going to be out, and next thing you know, you're out of the National Football League. And then on top of that, the Vikings are saying, wait a minute, you got hurt in a non-football way because your career-ending injury was through surgery, not through football, it was through surgery, so we're not going to pay you. And he was going to get $6.7 million guaranteed out of that deal, and he didn't end up seeing all of it because of the way this all went down. If this is how it actually played out, you really do feel for the guy.
Have you ever emailed your favorite team, owner, coach, player, and told them how upset you are by their performance? One individual has done this with a strongly worded letter, and it's pretty funny. We'll explain more next on The Fan.
This is Dirt and Sprague, Gun 1080, The Fan.
Most angry you've ever been at your favorite team. Go. This is an easy one for me, for you. I could tell you yours.
Most angry I've ever been at my favorite team.
Yeah. Helfrich's last year. This is pretty easy.
Yeah.
Giants haven't pissed you off like that.
The Blazers have pissed me off basically my whole life.
Right.
So I still think I would put something Blazer related ahead of something Oregon.
Really?
I do. Because at least Oregon has given me seasons of Rose Bowls and Fiesta Bowls and national championship appearances.
Right, but think about this. They gave you that, and then when it was very clear
they
it was gone,
up.
Everybody and their mom tried to tell you, oh, no, Helfrich is still the guy. Calm down. It's not as bad as you feel like it is.
Have you heard from the Blazer GM recently?
Yes, I have. He hasn't been here. He's at least given you playoff teams. I'll say that.
If I were to write an angry letter to a team that I follow and root for, the Blazers would get my first letter.
Well, then you would be like 7-year-old Rylan Wood, who is a Dallas Cowboys fan.
Wait, how old again?
Seven. Second grade.
Seven. Okay.
You know the movie Seven with Brad Pitt.
I do.
And Morgan Freeman.
I do. What's in the box?
Well, Rylan Wood, with a strongly worded letter for Jerry Jones, is in the box. He wrote, "Dear Mr. Jones, my name is Rylan Wood. I am a 7-year-old second grade student in Mansfield, Texas. My family has been Dallas Cowboys fans since the team was started. I have a lot of Cowboys gear, and I've met Zeke, Taco, Jason Witten, and two other players who play on other teams. You have made my mom very mad because we suck. Every game day, she is yelling at the TV and turns off the game. We are wanting to believe in the boys, but it's hard. I hope Coach Garrett is clapping if this letter gets to you. See what happens when Des X is gone? The cheerleaders are better than the team this year. I do not want to hurt your feelings. Thank you, Rylan."
This kid's a little punk.
He's a little punk?
Yeah, that's how I would classify him.
Why is he a little punk?
He's 7 years old.
Yes.
I'm going to repeat that.
Yeah.
7 years old.
Yes.
And already complaining about not having a championship to root for At the age of seven.
He's defending his mom.
At the age of seven. He's also saying that releasing Dez Bryant is the reason the Cowboys. See what happens when Dez is. Like Dez Bryant would solve this issue for Dallas. They just got a better wide receiver in a trade than Dez Bryant and Amari Cooper, and they still lost the Titans at home on Monday Night Football.
Are you defending the Cowboys?
I'm not defending.
And going against
no,
a seven-year-old right now?
Slightly. I'm not necessarily defending the Cowboys, but that is way too young of an age to start complaining about your teams. Way too young of an age. Like, you have to be at least over the age. You have to be able to vote to complain about your team sucking. That's my motto. Like, how many years now? Like, when do you...
You can't be 16 and complain?
No. At what age do you start, like, realizing and understanding what's going on in the sports fandom world?
Well, honestly, I'm thinking about my Cowboys fandom history as far as I can go back memories-wise.
Right.
And it was about 6 or 7, honestly.
It's when it starts.
Yeah, it's when it starts.
It's when it starts.
The memories.
But to comprehend things
sure.
on the left... I know what you're saying.
Yeah. So this kid, like, just started to understand what's going on with sports
yeah.
and being a fan, and he's already bitching, and it's like first year.
And being a Cowboys Dude. Fan for the last 20 years, he's got to make sure to channel that energy and disperse that out over the next couple of decades.
You're not
going to
defend the kid
okay?
for basically sticking up for his mom. This is basically stemming around the fact that his mom is so miserable.
Well, you shouldn't let sports get you that miserable. That's on her.
It's Texas, bro. It's Texas.
I don't
the
know.
Same people that revoted for Ted Cruz.
Dude, if there's like a 35-year-old person, whatever, that wants to complain, even Joe, if you want to complain about the Cowboys, fine. I will listen to that even though you've won championships within the last 25 years. I'll still allow that complaint. This kid has no grounds to complain.
See, this is the thing, is that my Cowboys complaining ship has sailed because this was me at 7 years old and 9 years old and 11 years old. And then by the time you get to a teenager, you start to realize that these feelings aren't going to go away being a Cowboys fan. So like I said, he's just got to channel this energy and disperse it
See,
out over
I'm
the
more,
next couple of decades.
I'm not even so much looking at him. I really think he's doing this, or he was inspired to do this because of how miserable his parent was.
He's a mama's boy.
Yes. He loves his mom. This is a
Still
family
a
man. This
Still
is a
punk.
Family move
no.
by a family man.
A punk.
Whining over there. Suck it up, kid.
Well, is he wrong,
Welcome
though?
To real life, all right? Your teams aren't going to win championships every year unless you want to be a Golden State, Alabama, New England Patriot fan.
Other thing I want to note, my daughter is going to be 7 here soon. And, you know, she's learning the whole reading, writing thing. It's about the age yeah. you start doing all that. How much of this was written not by him? Like,
yeah, she was doing this for attention. The mom wrote
does
it.
Does he have the wherewithal to do the whole, I hope Coach Garrett is clapping?
No.
A 7-year-old's no. picking up on that.
That came from the mom.
He put it in quotations, too.
The mom Clapped wanted to write this
Coach
letter.
Garrett.
And she didn't have the cojones to
she
put it in her own handwriting.
She signed her kid's name,
she
didn't
did.
She?
She totally did.
I'm rereading this right now as
Fraudulent.
You're talking. There's no way a 7-year-old wrote this.
Fraudulent letter. If you are 41 years old.
Hold on. There's a picture here. Give me a second.
Oh, the okay.
He definitely wrote it. Now, well,
like,
what
it's
was
in his handwriting.
Yeah,
yeah,
what was told to be written.
Yeah, she told him how to spell all of this. You can clearly tell. He wrote it. But she sat with him and helped right. him write this.
Well, just think about this. If you are born and raised in the city of Portland and you are, what, 41 years old, you have never seen a championship in this city. 41. And yeah. this kid's complaining at 7?
Yeah, he just lost his first tooth, too.
Like, dude, this is way too early to start complaining
about
sports.
You know what she did that was genius? She had him not only write this so it's in his handwriting, because it was like, he's an adorable looking kid.
He is, yeah.
The picture of the letter when you look at it. So she had him write it. It's in his writing. She has him. You can tell she not only helped him put this together, she had him misspell words on purpose. And
right,
I've
right.
done this before. I will tell you, I've done this before. I helped with my daughter. She had a thing that she was doing, and she forgot to write a sentence. So I told her what to write to make it good.
Right.
And I told her to misspell a word. Because I knew the teacher would know that or think that she did that.
The Sprague's totally cheating on homework.
Oh, dude,
over
I mean,
there.
Come on. Everybody's parents
cheated
for them.
You do her science projects for her, too.
Like, he spells Coach
Make her
Garrett.
Pinewood Derby cars. You probably did, didn't you?
We don't do that. he did Coach Garrett right and then spelled clapping wrong.
Yeah, if you can spell Coach Garrett, you can spell clapping.
Yes.
It was a good guess. Just guess the two
no,
R's.
No, she
and the
said
C
L A P I N G.
Am I alone in this? Am I? Like,
I think you're wrong on the kid. I think if you're gonna bash somebody, you bash
dude,
the mom for throwing the kid out as like the.
I would never let my kid write.
A,
if I have a 7-year-old that wants to complain about sports, I will not allow them to write this letter. Like, welcome to being a sports fan. It sucks. Like 98% of the time, your team loses. Yes. Like, you need to learn that lesson in life. Like, you think about it, in your lifetime as a sports fan, like, you're a Baltimore Orioles fan.
Oh, God.
100% of your life, they have lost, essentially. You're a Beaver fan, right? How many years of success have you had as a Beaver fan, right? Like, this is life. Welcome to being a sports fan. You enjoy the moments that you get. It happens once in a blue moon, unless, again, you're a fan of a team that turns into a dynasty. That's the way it goes.
See, I appreciate parents out there that are being honest. I have a 7-year-old second grader in dual language school. There is no way he thought of it. Yeah, it's no a way. Copy. This is the mom. Stop killing the kid.
I'm still going
to. And start aiming the anger at the mom.
No. I am angry with the mom, too. She needs to get her priorities
straight.
Why would
she just write this letter?
Well, someone else texted, are you sure the mom didn't just forge the kid's handwriting? It's like, there's a legitimate chance. Texas Cowboys fan, that might just be her actual handwriting on that paper.
Where's Mansfield, Texas? I don't know where that's located.
You said Mansfield?
Mansfield. Is that near the Chainsaw Massacre site? Because those people were clearly writing that way.
Close to Odessa.
Odessa. Go be perfect.
Odessa Permian. You mad from you because you from Midland.
Hold on. I'm zooming out. I found it. It is just south of Fort Worth.
Okay.
South of Dallas. It's just right outside of Dallas.
Okay.
Yeah.
The only thing I can think of is the reason she doesn't write this is because she is aware that the kid is the one that gets the traction with the letter.
Absolutely.
If she writes it, nobody cares. He probably gets 1,000 hate mail letters from fans all the time that are anywhere from 25 to 65. Who knows?
No, the complaint letters as sports fans that I will 100% support and I love reading is when the people die and they put it in their obituary.
Yeah,
and they
great.
Make fun of the team like, you made my life miserable. You won nothing. Like, everything sucked thanks to you. Like, those are the ones that are completely valid complaints because they get to the end. This kid could live till he's 80. I mean, how many Cowboy championships is he likely to see in the next 70 years?
Probably none. Jerry Jones will live forever. One final thought, and then Kyle Whittingham's going to jump on the show with us.
That's valid.
One final thought. Why did she put this on social media?
To gain traction.
See, this is my problem, and this is why some people have a problem with the news, the fake news stuff. Is because news outlets run to this. Oh, the 7-year-old wrote the letter. No, he didn't. You're a logical human being.
Yeah, read that letter.
He did not write that letter.
That kid ain't that smart. He's no whiz kid.
I bet he didn't pull out his own tooth. He probably had somebody do it for him because he was too scared. I'm supposed to think that he wrote this 2-paragraph letter?
Yeah, how weird. The string doorknob thing.
A GoFundMe page has been started for this family now. How weird.
Oh, shocking. Oh,
wow. No, not really. But would you be shocked?
No, I wouldn't. Yeah. No, I wouldn't. Help us pay our cable bill. Keep watching our Cowboys. Yeah. Okay. All right, we got a loaded second hour. We're going to kick it off with Kyle Whittingham, the head coach of the Utah Utes, is going to join the show next. Don't go anywhere. Back with more on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.